So, good morning, everyone. Last time we met, we looked at, and I don't know how these were broken up, but we have three paragraphs for Daiyo Kokushi on Zen, or three verses, I guess you'd say, in our sutra book. I imagine in the original it was all just one piece, but D.T. Suzuki, I imagine, who did the translation of this, or others who came afterwards, broke this into three different verses. And last month, we looked at there is a reality even prior to heaven and earth. Indeed, it has no form, much less a name. Eyes fail to see it. It has no voice for ears to detect. To call it mind or Buddha violates its nature, for it then becomes like a visionary flower in the air. And in today's talk, we'll look at the next verse. It is not mind nor Buddha. Absolutely quiet and yet illuminating in a mysterious way. It allows itself to be perceived only by the clear-eyed. It is Dharma, truly beyond form and sounds. It is Tao, having nothing to do with words. So Dio's great Chinese ancestor Ma Su, when asked, "What is Buddha?" said, "This very mind is Buddha." And this is the very mind Wei Neng was pointing to and expressing when he said, "It is not the wind that moves. It is not the flag that moves. It is mind that moves." The mind of Wei Neng and Ma Tzu is not an idea or a philosophical stance. It is the experience of eating with the Buddha's fork and spoon, sitting on the Buddha's zafu, and putting on the Buddha's shoes. And the Buddha, in turn, sits on your zafu, wears your shoes, and eats with your utensils. You contain and are contained by. This is an experiential fact, not a point to make in discussion or explanation. Dio's Dharma heir, Daito, said, "To see into one's nature is to be awakened to the Buddha mind. Cast all thoughts away and see that. See that mind is Buddha. The one who realizes that her true mind is Buddha is the one who has attained Buddhahood. The mind that does not attach to each and everything is the Buddha mind. This is mind is Buddha." But Daiyo Kokushi on Zen wrote, "It is not mind. It is not Buddha." What do you suppose he's pointing to? Or is he pointing at all? Another time when Ma Tzu was asked, "What is Buddha?" he said, "Not mind, not Buddha." Which is exactly what the nun Miao Shan said. She said, "It is not the wind that moves. It is not the flag that moves. And it is not mind that moves. Whatever arises, it is not until nothing at all arises. And then that isn't it either." This very mind is Buddha. It's the night of stars and moon. It is shimmering. It is a mind that is almost invisible. This very mind is Buddha. Is the night of owls calling and mice scampering. Not mind, not Buddha, is the night with no moon, no stars, no owls, no mice, and no shimmering. No mind, no Buddha, is you when all marks of identity and location in space and time fall away, or when they are seen through as constructs manufactured to create an illusion of permanence and substantiality. No mind, no Buddha is the doorway and landscape of the wild. Of the wilderness where we hear the sound of no sound. It is where we feel the cold of no cold in the northeast wind. It is where we see the colors of no color in the slanting candlelight on the round Zendo window. No mind, no Buddha. Is saying something without moving your lips or tongue. It is the reality of form as emptiness, where emptiness does not mean nothingness, vacancy, or void. It in fact means, it is in fact vast spaciousness with no bottom, no walls, and no limits. It is the blue sky before clouds. It is the blue sky before birds. And it is before thoughts. Although it does not exclude clouds, birds, thoughts, or feelings. No mind, no Buddha is absolutely quiet. And yet it includes the gathas of geese. It includes the prayers of flags and the whispering of rutting elk. It is absolutely quiet. And yet includes the happy yells of children. The sobbing of unjustly imprisoned Latinos at the southern border. And it includes, too, the histrionic aggressive tweets of a dark-sided clown. It is absolutely quiet, but it glistens as each expounds the Dharma of no Dharma. Absolutely quiet and illuminated. This is the seeing of the clear-eyed who naturally feels deeply about life and death, who feels deeply about unborn and undying. It is from no mind, no Buddha, that deep, unsullied compassion is born and immediately acted on. In no mind, no Buddha, in no walls, no bottoms, all then are known as kin. All are known as members of your body, of one body. This is a side note, but that is why Kinhin, walking meditation, in the Zendo is such a lovely practice. We all bow together to each other and then immediately take the first step as one body. It doesn't matter if you are tired or energized, sleepy or awake, sad or happy. You just move, keeping the same space walking as you have when sitting. There is, in this way, no need to speed up or slow down when someone leaves or joins the line. When we walk as one body, we arrive together at our seats, the original dwelling, thus fulfilling our bodhisattva vow of only coming over, of crossing when all others have crossed. Kinhin is the bodhisattva vow, your vow, in action, over and over throughout the day. One body, which is another way of saying no mind, no Buddha. Arriving together home to sit at the hearth, the center place, the heart of the original dwelling. This is clear-eyed practice. Dio next writes, although it is not mine nor Buddha, it is Dharma, truly beyond form and sound. And it is Tao, having nothing to do with words. These are wonderful lines because they confound our common understanding. Dharma often refers to the teachings, and the first talk by Shakyamuni Buddha was called Turning the Wheel of the Dharma. The second refuge, as you know, is refuge in the Dharma. So I wonder, what are you? What are we taking refuge in? What are the teachings, if they are truly beyond form and sound? What are you doing when you are listening to Dharma talks on podcasts or live streaming? Are you listening to the words, taking notes, and studying and applying the teachings, the Dharma? Later in this piece, Dio gives us further directions about Dharma. He writes, if you desire to listen to the thunderous voice of the Dharma, exhaust your words, empty your thoughts. For this is how we hear the Dharma, that is before form and sound. And this Dharma is the reality, which is prior to heaven and earth. This Dharma is the natural law. It is the configuration of the universe that in explanation sounds contradictory. Born and unborn, death and undying, being and non-being, nirvana and samsara. But in experience, is exactly thus. So this Dharma is the natural law. It is the configuration of the universe that in explanation sounds contradictory, but in experience is exactly thus, or is exactly so. When the Buddha was asked about all his teachings, he said he never uttered even one word. That not even one word is the Dharma. And it comes forth if you're listening with your clear eyes. Comes forth in the chanting of the lone loon. It comes forth in the wind brushing against branches. And it comes forth in the snapping of prayer flags in the summer breeze. And it is also Tao. But this is the Tao which has nothing to do with words. Tao means way, and in Zen Buddhism, it is the Buddha Dharma. So Dao says it is Tao, but it has nothing to do with words. So what is the Tao? That is the question the young Zhao Zhou asked Nan Chuan. Nan Chuan said, ordinary mind is the Tao. And Zhao Zhou said, should I try to direct myself toward it or not? Nan Chuan said, if you direct yourself, you betray your own practice. And I would add, you betray the natural unfolding of your life. Nan Chuan, after another question or two, said, the Tao is not subject to knowing or not knowing. Knowing is delusion. Not knowing is blankness. If you truly touch the genuine Tao, you will find it as vast and boundless as outer space. However, how can this be discussed at the level of affirmation and negation? Nan Chuan obviously is using words, but he isn't being used by them. Is both pointing to and expressing the undifferentiated mind, which is the Tao. His are intimate words, echoes with no subject, object, or activity. And they aren't tied to associative thinking and construction. His words don't explain, but express. They express, they are echoes, probably even closer than echoes, of the vast mind of the Tao, of the Tao. But after all of this, if you find Nan Chuan's words a little too grandmotherly, a little too explanatory, here might be another more succinct way to say. And this is case 279 from Entangling Vines. A monk asked Bao Ling, what is the Tao? Bao Ling said, a clear-eyed person falls into a well. A clear-eyed person falls into a well. This is Dharma truly beyond form and sound. This is Tao having nothing to do with words. And wishing to entice the blind, the Buddha has playfully let words escape his golden mouth, as did Bao Ling, who was asked, what is the Tao? And replied, a clear-eyed person falls into a well.